weirdos for Jesus. Weirdos for Jesus. We've seen them. We know them. You sometimes have to dodge them on the road as they're riding on their bikes. They come to the door. They knock. I told a story about, I guess it was last week or the week before, about how I was up in Wichita Falls and my parents were visiting me, and it was Pastor Beverly Drive up in Wichita Falls. It was over 10 years ago. They're at the house with mom and dad, and we hear a knock at the door. And I answer the door, and it's one of those guys in the white shirt with the black tie. Have you found Jesus? And being the naughty boy that I was, I turned around and yelled out at mom and dad, "Hey, mom and dad, there's a guy out front. He's looking to see if we found Jesus. Do you know where he is?" I'm a naughty boy, aren't I? Aren't I naughty? Yeah. Weirdos for Jesus. Weirdos for Jesus. I've let those guys into the house. When they come two by two, you know. And I let them come in, and I have them sit down in the living room, and I give them coffee, and I give them cookies, and we just sit back, and we start talking. And after about 20 minutes of chatting, they discover, well, I think we need to leave. Because I'm a weirdo, too. Weirdos for Jesus. Are you saved? Have you found Jesus? We liberal Protestant Christians sometimes have a problem with that kind of terminology. Saved? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? That's one of those key phrases that just turns me off sometimes. Weirdos for Jesus. The problem of salvation. I think many of us liberal Protestant Christians have a problem with the concept of salvation because, quite frankly, many of us don't believe we need it. We're not in trouble. We don't need salvation. We're doing mighty fine, thank you. Up on the roof of our houses with the water rising, we're doing fine. We don't need any help. I was up in Upper New York State several years ago preaching for a friend of mine. We're doing a revival. And I was preaching one of the evening messages. And I was preaching on the need that we have for grace. The need that we have for God's unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor, love, presence. The need that all of us have. Every single one, from the youngest to the oldest, from the best to the worst. You knew that was coming. And Karen was nodding her head. That was the fun part. Everyone needs grace, not just us. The creation needs grace. Because when we stumble and fall, we mess everything up. If humans are good at anything, it's screwing up the garden. Thank you. Been missing you, Freddie. We need to get some practice on that. Let's practice our amens. If humans are good at anything, it's screwing up the garden.
Amen.
Man, that sounds like one of those weirdo churches, doesn't it? But we are. We all need grace. And this, at the end of the message, I'm standing there, you know, shaking hands. Yeah, nice. Yeah, thank you, you know. Oh, it was the best message I ever heard. Blah, 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 blah. And one guy comes up to me and says, "Preacher?" And you could tell he was a transplanted guy from the South. "Preacher? I don't need Jesus." "You don't need Jesus?" "No, I'm doing well. I'm a good man. I give money to needy causes. I serve on two boards of this church. I am a good man. I take care of my family. I take care of the family's needs. I take care of others around me. I'm a good person. I do good works. The community knows me to be a good philanthropic character and a good person. I don't need grace. And I looked at him and, man, how do you answer that? I looked at him and I finally said, what happens when you die? Where do your good works go? What good do they do you when you're laying in a casket up in the front of this church? And he got this strange look on his face. And he says, well, I guess it won't matter then. And I said, for your life to matter today, beyond the good that you do, and I applaud you for doing good, for your life to matter today, you need to be reminded and realize that all that you do, all the good that you do, should be flowing from the source of all goodness, and that's God. You may not realize it, but the good works that you are doing and the resources that you have with which to do them come from God. And it would be a good idea to recognize that. We tend to have a problem accepting that we need grace. Down deep inside, there's a little bit of us that thinks we deserve brownie points for the good that we do. And that we are not really all that bad. That's why those weirdos bug us a little bit. Because they remind us that we truly need Jesus. That's what the season of Lent is about. Recognizing, remembering, accepting the truth that we need God's grace. That's what the passage today from Ephesians is about. I'm going to jump down to the very end. Verse 8. For by grace, unearned, unmerited, undeserved love and favor, by grace you have been saved. Have been saved. Been here 2 years. You know I like grammar. Have been saved. The part of speech is a passive participle. In other words, you don't do anything to generate that salvation. You don't do anything to add to that salvation. You don't do anything to build that salvation. Nothing of you goes into creating the salvation. It's not anything that you have done. It is what you receive. The word salvation. The Greek word is sozo. S-O-S-O. But you have to make the second S a Z almost. Sozo. And it means two things. It means to rescue or deliver, common meaning of the word. But it also means to heal. Indeed, throughout the New Testament, the word to save, everywhere you see it translated, saved, salvation, he saved, you need to be saved, whatever, salvation here, saved, and wherever you see healed, Jesus healed this person. Jesus healed that person. By his stripes you were healed. It's the same word. It's the same word. In Greek, salvation and healing are the same thing. In other words, for by grace you have been healed. made whole again. Made whole again, brought back together again with God. Brought back together again with your sisters and brothers. Brought back together again in the family of faith. You have been saved, rescued, delivered, healed, brought back to wholeness. All those ideas are the same idea in play here. By God's unearned, unmerited favor, you have been saved through faith. Not the verb faith, the noun faith here. Because it's not you doing it. It's the substance you're receiving, the substance of faith that you're receiving, the real presence of Jesus that you are receiving, the grace that you are receiving. It's what saves you. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. You can't reject it. But you don't add anything to it. You don't build it. You don't create it. You simply receive it. It is the gift of God, not through your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of work, so that no one may boast. One of the problems I have with the weirdos for Jesus is that they seem to be boasting and bragging about salvation, their salvation. They seem to be boasting and bragging about being saved. Oh, my friends, there's nothing to boast and brag about there. It's God's doing. It's Christ's doing, not ours. And just as we are graced to receive it, so also any person who receives it is graced to receive it. And we have no business telling anybody that they can't be saved, that they can't be delivered, that they can't be rescued, that they can't be healed and made whole because of some circumstance in their past, because of something they have done, because of something or someone that they are. God can save, can heal, can transform, can deliver, can rescue anybody. And everybody, my friends. For we are what God has made us. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We are saved by grace and called to live a life giving ourselves for others, serving others in the name of Christ Jesus, being the presence of Christ Jesus to others, reaching out to the last and the least and the lost with the good news of Christ through our prayers, through our presence, through our gifts, through our service, through our witness, and everything that we do should be a witness to the love of God. How do we witness to Christ Jesus? The General Conference added that to the promises that we make. We promise to support our church through our prayers, through our presence, through our gifts, through our service, and now through our witness. What does that mean? I'm convinced that it's the totality of the whole. Through our prayers, presence, and gifts, and service, we are witnessing to the love of God that has transformed us, that has rescued us, that has delivered us, that has made us whole, and enabled us to be Christians, to be members of the body of Christ. And we witness to this wonderful grace, this transforming love, by being the presence of Jesus, the real presence, the hands and the feet and the eyes of Jesus to a broken and hurting world. That is how we are called to witness. That is the good works here. The Greek word behind work here is an interesting one. It's the same word from which we get the word in English, energy, energia. Good energy, good works, good effort. We are called to be committed to a good work or a good effort expressing this grace, this saving grace of God to all. Most of you know this. I've told this a few times while I've been here. I go just about every week to another church in Dallas, midweek, towards the end of the week actually, to receive Holy Communion. It's a short noonday service on Friday or a 7:30, ouch, morning service on Saturday. And I go to this service and there's no preaching at the service. It's just a worship service with prayers and scripture and Holy Communion. And I go and I attend this service weekly because I feel as though the week empties me out. I didn't show up on Friday. I was awfully busy. So I went on Saturday morning before getting my hairs cut. My two hairs, the last two I have left. And I walked in, and the pastor there saw me and came over and said, "Missed you yesterday, but I'm glad to see you here today." He said, "Yeah, I know. It's been one of those weeks that have just drained me to the end." And he says, "How do people make it from Easter to Christmas and Christmas to Easter by only going to church twice? How do people make it without a regular refilling of the grace of God? How do people make it without feasting on the grace of God?" I said, "I don't know, but my fuel gauge is on empty." So we had worship, received Holy Communion, sang some hymns, received the benediction, and as I was leaving, my friend asked me, "How's the fuel gauge?" I said, "It's up on full, ready for a week." My friends, at the risk of being identified as a weirdo for Jesus, I encourage all of us to come and be present with the Lord, to receive God's grace, to be filled with the wonderful good energy, to then serve this wonderful good energy to all. I don't need to go to church. I give money. I serve, sit on committees. I don't need to go to church. We all need to be filled up. We all need to have our spiritual batteries recharged to then go out and serve the children of God and witness to the glorious gift of God's love and grace. So this Lent, as we move now into the second half of Lent and move on towards Holy Week and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Resurrection Sunday, I encourage all of us to refuel, to deeply drink of the grace of God in worship, in Bible study, in Sunday school, in fellowship. Partake of the means of grace offered here. Offer the means of grace to others through your presence, your prayers, your gifts, and your service. And in so doing, witness to God. And be a weirdo for Jesus with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.